The Central Issue, Love or Selfishness. Commentary for the April 13, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." Isaiah 58, verses 5 through 9. Christianity is in crisis, but it is a crisis afflicting every other religion as well. Muslim, Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, and Christian have chosen to reject love and compassion in the interest of ever-increasing power. We see it in the never-ending fighting between Sunni and Shia Muslims. We see it in the murderous atrocities committed by both Muslims and Jews. We see it in the bloody Russian Orthodox's patriarch proclaiming that a war that is murdering thousands of Ukrainian women and children is a holy war fought for God. We see it in India persecuting Muslims and Muslims returning the favor. In the West, and particularly in the United States, we look at these conflicts with an arrogant self-righteousness as though we are the chosen ones who have a true relationship with God, all the while sending millions of tons of armaments all across the globe that have done little for the world beyond sweeping a countless host of innocents into their graves, should they be fortunate enough to be buried. We really meant to destroy the bad guys, but these were all acceptable collateral damage. We blame the enemy for hiding behind civilians. But what did we expect? They were defending their homes. Were they supposed to gather in an open field to be bombed into oblivion by 2,000-pound bombs? I do not think that those with the bombs would do that in fighting to protect their homes. Why do they think the enemy should? We dehumanize our enemies so much that the blood we shed is little more than animal blood soaking the earth around their destroyed homes. But our vision is imperfect, for if we could truly see, we would realize that the blood is Christ's. He continues to die as collateral damage in our war against those who have so little. We have raped the world of its resources to create an artificially wealthy lifestyle, leaving those to whom those resources belonged to live in poverty. Then we wonder why they follow those resources to our borders, wanting a measure of that better life that those resources enabled in Europe and North America. Some have called the migrations an invasion. What they really mean is, we want to continue to haul away your resources, but we do not want you to come along with them. We want to enjoy them only for ourselves. This is not just a problem for the West. As prosperity grows in China, Russia, and India, they will discover that similar migrations will occur. The poor of this world truly have little to lose and everything to gain in the struggle for justice. The wealth of those who ignore the injustice behind their wealth may find the cost of that wealth to be dearer than they expected. I do not have enough knowledge of the sacred texts of other religions to instruct them in the path to compassion, empathy, and justice that will set things right in their culture. But I do know that until Christianity accepts the example of the Apostolic Church learned at the feet of Jesus, we will continue to be in crisis. If we continue to see the masses at our borders as just animals trying to break through a fence, we will find God is not only a God of compassion, but also of justice. That justice could come as elevating those hordes to overcome the ones treating them so unjustly. Or it could come as lowering of the status of their oppressors to that of those they are oppressing, to help them learn the human value of those they treat so poorly. Even if we do not know or understand the ministry of Jesus, history has taught repeatedly the fate of empires that see the rest of the world as theirs to conquer and plunder. The wealth they accumulate simply starts to rot society at its core. Not happy with all they have, those who can backstab and betray one another to add power to their wealth. As the saying goes, the fish rots from the head. This infighting starts for the top positions and spreads downward until even those with little fight and claw one another for the slightest advantage. Churches are not exempt. Pastors fight just as much for the best parishes as the wealthy over the world's resources. When a powerful leader speaks, one falls in line if one wishes more power and control in the organization, even if it means trashing what was once dear, even if it means betraying a friend. No kiss required. The apostles understood the values Jesus taught and sought to emulate them. They cared for the poor and shared according to need. This is quite different from the Christianity that endorses taking everything you can from the poor and begrudges them having even the minimum needed for survival. We cast them out as though they were awful instead of welcoming them to share the bounty. Why do we do this? Is it because we fear they will steal from us as we have stolen from them? That they will have no more compassion than we have? If instead of using religion as a way to placate the poor into accepting their fate complacently, we had used it to change our own hearts toward compassion and justice for all, that lesson would have become ingrained in their hearts, as it should have been in ours, and no such fear would be justified. Instead, are we reaping the poisonous fruit of vines we have sown? Instead of grafting the world to the compassion and love of Christ, have we by our own example grafted them to a strange and poisonous weed that will destroy them as surely as it is working to destroy us in our greed and indifference to the suffering in the world? We like to blame God for all the suffering, even denying his existence for that reason. But he is not to blame. We are. He has consistently tried to call us to a higher path, but enamored by the wealth of this world, we have chosen to destroy whatever and whomever we think stands between us and having it all. We were meant to love one another, not backstab, betray, and manipulate one another into submission to our perverted will. Jesus knelt and washed his disciples' feet. If they had the secular power to do so, they might chop off those same feet if they felt those who owned the feet challenged their power and authority. This may seem a ghastly image, but is it more gruesome than the broken and bloodied bodies of children that those in power see as acceptable collateral damage suffered by those who dared to respond to injustice as their oppressors taught them to respond to an enemy? Lessons they learned well? There is a path forward, but to find it, we need to return to the time of Jesus to rediscover what his disciples did. The single-digit percentage growth rate of Christianity in our day is lamentable. We have sold our birthright for pottage by betraying the ministry of Jesus in exchange for power and authority granted to us by the wealthy and the governments they control. Christians once ran wild and free, filled with the Holy Spirit, and this enabled great works of compassion, including miracles. Those who saw this power working in the saints came to seek that Christ-like character for themselves, being grafted onto that same vine that they might receive the Holy Spirit. But through the centuries, we discovered the dainties of the rich and the softness of their fabrics and became lapdogs of the wealthy, no longer caring about, let alone emulating, the character of Jesus. Everything became about the comforts of this life, with little thought of what was to come tomorrow. We became so comfortable with material wealth and afraid that we might lose it, that death became something to dread instead of a portal we all must pass through to Eden restored. That fear may be a primal angst of a judgment that justice demands. Selling out the love and compassion of Jesus for all that we can get in this life has left the scales of justice severely imbalanced. Like Scrooge in Dickens' A Christmas Carol, while we are yet alive, we can and must work to right those scales by no longer allowing power to perpetuate injustice. Whether in our lives, in the church, or in this world. If Christians could learn to have empathy and compassion instead of a lust to control everyone and everything, then we could understand that God is willing and has provided the manpower to deal with suffering in our day. We only need to let loose of the golden fruit that we have chosen to grasp instead. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, as well as scripture footnotes supporting some of the ideas in this commentary, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds of other commentaries, podcasts, articles, and links to books written by the author at that website. Once again, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.